sitting here telling us the legislature, you guys, in your wisdom, passed this bill and gave us this responsibility, and we're $500,000 in the hole. So appropriate $500,000 of general fund money or increase these fees or whatever. So I want to start off from the very beginning making sure that we have a program that is either going to work or work to the limits of the capacity that it has. And so let's...
I understand. Okay. I don't have the answer for you either, unless it's a sunset.
We'll search it out here.
John, I'm sorry, I missed. What was your question?
Oh, no, it was just one of these theoretical kind of questions about funding to the limits of the claims.
Well, I think I don't know what staff is going to add with their amendments. I'd be curious. But,
I think that the amendments that I've provided are probably incomplete and that we probably need to come back with revised amendments that make the billing agency the public agency rather than the... police department, rather than the
Department of Human Resources.
Yeah, the health provider, so that the ultimate liability is with the billing agency, not mm-hmm. with the Department of Human Resources.
Yeah. You know, I think the end result, well, I mean, we can argue about this for a long time, but the end result would be if they exceed that limit, you basically have two choices, or three. You can up the fees next time and retroactively cover what's accrued. You could ignore them, or you could pay. If it's really bad, you could ask for an e-board appropriation. What it amounts to is, with the prohibition and with that language where the liability rests with the biller, basically it's a legislative decision as to how much more you would want to put in it, but they would be fairly effectively capped if you do that. And it would come back to us as a decision.
It would, but I guess what I'm looking at is you're looking at probably a different group of legislators, different subcommittee, a different interpretation. I can point to drug lab cleanup, where there were discussions and there were agreements, or at least perceived agreements, that didn't come to fruition. And then there's a subsequent legislature looking at it, and a shift in policy, and the state continues to pick up more and more of the liability.
You're always going to get that, John. I guess my concern is that we deal with, you know, somehow we figure out how to deal with that major problem out there that some of the smaller departments face. That really is a difficulty. I don't care necessarily how we do it, as long as we do something to take care of the situation that's been fairly clearly identified as a real problem.
Okay. All right. We have a couple of other witnesses. Do you have a question?
Marsha needed to get his name for the record.
Oh, Vrotarno, T-A-R-N-O. What was it? It's on the list.
Yes, it is.
He's got it on the
list. Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Yee.
Is any discussion about keeping it to 50% state and 50% local agencies?
I think the argument still, and Paul, you can help me, there's still the ongoing litigation between whether it's city or county liability. That fight continues to rage, I guess.
Yes, Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, that's true. The only way that we can see to avoid the lawsuit is to remove the question of whose prisoner is this. And if we move back in a direction of splitting costs, I think we can avoid that by virtue of having created a separate fund that's outside the general fund and that pays these expenses subject to availability of funds. Now, the Human Resources Department currently operates a similar account for motor vehicle accident injuries for uninsured motorists. And when that account draws down to the point where there's not enough money to pay all the claims that come in, they just prioritize the claims based upon the first one that comes through is the first one that gets paid when there's enough money in the account to pay it. So there is someone from DHR who's here who can explain better than I as to how that works, but we tried to write this in a way that didn't have any general fund exposure at all.
But then you may have the problem of the first part of the year everybody gets paid, and near the end of the year when the account is depleted, then nobody gets paid.
Well, Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, based on what we understand to be the probable revenues from this account and the experience from those who responded to our survey, that's always a possibility, but it's likely that the revenues will exceed the expenditures.
Well, I thought Robin just said the revenue is going to be under.
Oh, I didn't mean to imply that. If that's what it I what mean, it sounded like, the one issue is that with unitary assessment, it will be a Category 4 collection. So that may change the revenue collections to some degree, but we don't have enough experience to know.
Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, if I may, the existing fee that's already in the statute is of the lowest priority now. It only gets paid after every other fine and assessment that exists is paid in full. And we did our own survey of the actual revenues that the counties receive. And again, we had a projection based upon the Board on Police Standards and Training actual receipts for the preceding biennium. And we created an assessment that's exactly the same amount, but has bottom rather than top priority. And the experience in the counties was, for that one full year that we actually got estimates or actual expenditures, was two-thirds of the BPST fee. Now, the BPST fee, as it tracks under this bill, is $1 million, was $1 million for the one fiscal year that it was in effect between 1989 and 1991 per year. $1 million for the first one full year. So based on that, we assumed that BPST fees for a biennium would be about $2 million. And then we figured two-thirds of those collections would bring us to the figure that Robin just mentioned, at about $1.5 million per biennium. And that's substantially more. Again, we have spotty responses because not every jurisdiction kept records on what their prisoner medical expenses were. But based on those that we got, it seems as though these revenues will be significantly more than what the costs will be that are submitted. If they are substantially more, since this is a dedicated account, it's not a waste of that money. The legislature can come back next session if there's a surplus and reduce the fee. That'd be fine with us, but we're based on the responses that we got, which were not across the state because folks didn't all keep those records. Our best judgment is that this will be more than enough to pay those costs. Can't say for sure, but that's the way it looks.
Well, my concern is once people know that there is an account where you can apply for medical fees, then you may have a lot more than what you have. And that's my concern. So,
Mr. Chair, Senator, I can't say. What we would do in the law enforcement community to avoid that dynamic, because we don't want it to go back to the point where either the costs are not paid or the fund winds up in jeopardy. I think I can speak for all the organizations represented here that we would make it a point to let those folks know that if you open the door to the point where you're billing through for virtually everything that happens, that the fund is likely to go dry and we're going to be in trouble. We'll try very, very hard to avoid that from happening.
May, weren't you also concerned about maybe over-collection? Or didn't I hear you voice a concern they might collect too much money?
Well, they may come in more than what we have and therefore create some kind of liability for the state. Then the Human Resources Department, I think somebody mentioned that, may come in. I think maybe John
did. I think staff made a good point in that where they set who's ultimately responsible, they set it so the state is not ultimately responsible. All we're doing is facilitating this, setting up a fund, and when that fund's out, these folks are out, you know, unless the legislature were to approve additional monies either through the e-board or next session. They would have There's no draw or liability on the state to meet those if there were excessive charges. And if they abuse that privilege, I can guarantee, I mean, the legislature is not going to be very, look very favorable on that next time. I mean, I think there's some self-policing there that is going to be pretty important if they want to continue this type of a program. And if staff does fix those amendments, then the liability for the state, we shouldn't have any. At least if I understand the intent of the amendments correctly.
Okay, we have some other people who signed up to testify. Let's find out if they still want to talk. Kathy Page, Multnomah County.
I'm Kathy Page from Multnomah County. I'm responsible for the jail health program for Multnomah County, and I was part of the task force that was pulled together to address this issue. The only thing that I'd like to add is that what we're proposing is that the person who received the injury, when they are levied a fine, they pay those fines, and that the bills for their medical care that they received, those bills are paid from that fine fund or that pool, and that if the fund would run out of money based on less than anticipated collections from those particular people, that the worst thing that could happen is the state that we're in right now, where there are providers out there that have not been paid for 2 and 3 years on these kind of claims because it's been tied up in court. And so the money that the jurisdictions are spending is in lawyers, and that's who's making the money, and the people that have provided the care have not received their pay. So that's the cost shift from a person who maybe has paid a fine and that money is going into a fund, where now what we're asking anyone else who goes to a hospital is to that cost shift. Your bills are higher because there are, for example, I know probably $90,000 just from two cases where it is the hospital has just not been paid for that over a period of 2 years. So that is the worst thing that can happen if the fund runs out of money, is that the hospital's providers, physicians, or whatever who provided that care in good faith are not receiving any pay at all. They will maybe eventually down the road when the litigation is ended, but at this point they have not. That's my only comments, unless you have a question.
You're with Multnomah County Corrections?
Yes, I am.
Or?
I work for the Department of Human Services, but I'm responsible for the jail health program and responsible for developing contracts with hospitals that pay for prisoner services to prisoners.
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead, Senator.
You know, the bill keeps mentioning the schedule under workers' compensation. So what does the workers' compensation pay in the case of a hospital fees?
That's not a question.
Because then it says, other than the hospital, it's 75% of customary and usual rates.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Yee, Steve Telfer again for the record. The reason that we referred to the workers' compensation fee schedule for hospitals is a desire to basically strip out the profits but get back to a true cost. And the under the Senate Bill 1197, and then following that, the Department of Insurance and Finance has promulgated a hospital fee schedule which has what we call an adjusted cost to charge ratio. And simply what it comes down to is it's a discount from charges. So to facilitate very easy to administer accounts here, Albany General Hospital, for example, would simply submit their bill, and the Department of Human Resources then would get the bill and discount it in that case by a factor of 0.906. So they'd get about a 10% discount. The Department of Insurance and Finance updates these hospital-specific cost of charge ratios every year, and they're based on what are called Medicaid cost reports, which is a very elaborate report that each hospital is required to file every year. and identifies the amounts of costs and their charges, and has certain allowable discounts for indigent care, so on and so forth. So it's just a very simple, easy way to get to a discounting factor. Mm-hmm.
But it's different, Mr. Chairman, follow-up question. So it's different from providers other than a hospital, because they are giving a 25% discount, and a workers' comp only gives a 10% discount. Why is it different?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Yee, under the workers' compensation situation, physicians principally and other non-hospital providers today have the 70th percentile or 30% discount from their usual and customary fees. In this instance, we're talking about 75th percentile. So it's actually slightly higher mm-hmm. than would be the case in workers' compensation.
Okay, any additional questions? Thank you. Vic Mann.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Vic Mann, and I'm testifying on behalf of the City of Eugene in favor of the bill. The City of Eugene did not participate in the group that formed this particular amendment or amended bill, but we participated 2 years ago in an attempt to do something similar. And we are in favor of this bill for a number of reasons. Number one, City of Eugene has been following a policy that's very close to what is described in this bill with our local hospital. We happen to be in the fortunate position of being a combined department, so we're a police EMS operation, and we have some good connections with our hospital, and so we have been able to negotiate with them, but we actually paid out $2,500 in medical bills the last year, but we turned down another $6,000, saying that those were not our expenses, those were not police-related expenses. And we believe the language that you've included in this bill would have the same effect for you statewide. And I don't believe that there is a great deal of consistency in who is paying what. What we found in our discussions 2 years ago was that we were unique, or fairly unique, in our ability to turn down a large number of bills, it seemed like. But I'm hearing now that there's a lot of discussion between hospitals and police agencies on what their liability is. I believe this bill would clarify to everybody's satisfaction what each agency was responsible for when police were responsible for emergency medical. I think the issue in terms of city versus county will continue until that language is clarified, even though we have an agreement that we have was resolved through a court action with our county. I think the other point about this is the fact that the medical costs are being described here. One of the things under the current law is you are being charged 100% retail rates in most cases, unless you have a contract, and most small cities cannot enter into contracts with their local hospitals. And I think the impact on small cities is even greater than on, say, medium or large-sized cities in comparison. I talked with the police chief of Junction City this morning, and he had bills of about $1,000 for the last year. And some of those, I don't believe some of them would have been covered under this bill. It's like he had one bill of $115 that was for a fellow who deliberately took his colostomy off, and so they had to transport him to the hospital and have that cleaned up. He had another bill that was for vaginal disease. Those bills would not be covered under this. Those particular medical bills would not be covered under it, but he had a $418 hospital or ambulance bill that was for a guy claiming back pain, and he paid full rate on that. He did not pay Medicare rates, so at least there would be a 10% decrease on that. And obviously, a small agency, if they get a large bill, they have a very limited ability to handle that. That is the advantage of this bill to them. My billing or my business clerk would like to see this liability language, if nothing else, the fact that it is really clarifying what an emergency medical expense or what our liability is in terms of law enforcement related activities. just tightening that down might cut down on some of the billings to agencies, and it would certainly give us a stronger basis to deny certain claims, because we could say this is not a law enforcement related activity, and this is an activity that was a result of the person's activities prior to our arrest, or it's a condition unrelated to arrest. It's a pre-existing condition, for example, a heart condition. Any questions?
Paul, maybe you can help. As the bill's envisioned now, who would primarily be making a request for payment?
Mr. Chair, Paul Snyder, representing Association of Oregon Counties. The request for payment would come from the medical provider.
I see.
After that provider has made reasonable efforts to collect from the patient or from the patient's insurer.
Okay, so who makes the decision that they should bill this fund?
It would probably come from the provider, but there is a provision in the bill that provides that certification by the law enforcement agency that this is an injury related to law enforcement activity creates a rebuttable presumption that that's true. So it would probably involve some contact by the provider with the law enforcement agency to be sure that it fits within the definition. But we envision the way this would operate is that it would be Department of Human Resources that would make the ultimate decision as to whether or not this is an injury related to law enforcement activity.
Okay, why did we pick the Department of Human Resources to manage the account?
Mr. Chair, it's because they have experience with this same kind of claim and the same kind of claim process. We had in the original bill Department of General Services, and they said, we don't have any experience with this. We don't know how to do it. We have to get somebody new. We have to get a new system. And so DHR was identified because they do the motor vehicle accident fund, which is identical in the way it would work as this is.
Okay. Now, if I'm following correctly, so it could be the Eugene Police Department arrests someone, they take him to the hospital, the provider decides that this is law enforcement related and bills, or it could be the county facility where the person ultimately ends up in jail if they go to jail. In our county, we don't put them in jail too often. You got to be a real high qualifier for that. But in any event, then again, the provider would make that same decision. But the argument between the cities and counties about any other residual liability still goes on. Is that right? I thought I heard Mr. Mann say something.
Mr. Chair, that's correct. Actually, the issue often revolves around whether a person has been brought in on city charges or they've been brought in on state charges. And the cities tend to take the position that state charges are a county and state responsibility if the person incurs a medical expense while in custody. And the county sheriffs have taken the position in some cases that they want the cities to assume the liability for those medical expenses. There's general agreement about when it's a city charge that it's a city responsibility, I believe.
Okay,
Mr. Chair, excuse me, under this bill, it's intended that we would get rid of these interjurisdictional disputes. That's a primary goal of the bill. So under Section 7, for example, it says, unless it's otherwise provided by tort claims law, by federal civil rights law, or by written agreement, a state, a county, or a city law enforcement agency is not liable for these charges or expenses. And that's intended specifically to get rid of those lawsuits. The reference to the other qualifiers is to say, unless we've done something tortious, or unless we violated someone's civil rights, then we don't have liability. But if we've done something wrong, then we have liability for what we did wrong.
Okay, but Paul, it doesn't do anything and probably can't do anything with any existing lawsuits over a specific claim because it's not a retroactive bill.
That's correct, Mr. Chair.
So those would ultimately have to be settled or agreed to out of court somewhere. Okay, anybody else here who would like to testify on 1142 but hasn't had the opportunity?
Mr. Chair, I'm Bill Kirby. I am
Bill Kirby?
Right, K-I-R-B-Y for the record. I'm a deputy city attorney with the city of Beaverton, and I'm also here on behalf of the Oregon City Attorneys Association. I'm here to say that we are in support of the policies behind Senate Bill 1142. You've heard a lot of explanation of how the bill works. I think maybe the best thing I can do at this point is to give you some factual basis of how I get involved in these sorts of cases from the perspective of an attorney that works for a municipal corporation. Bills come to us, they go directly to the police department. There's a captain in the police department that then contacts me saying, well, is this one of these things we have to pay or isn't it? I then take a look at the bill. Oftentimes, you've heard today some explanations of how there can become some disputes. A city police officer arrests someone. The charge is a state statute statutory violation of crime. We look at that and we say, well, you know, there's a basis to say that the county ought to be paying this. So although we're the agency that made the arrest, we made it under state law, and it's going to be prosecuted in the state courts by the county. Let's see if they'll pay. Other times, we'll call back to the hospital itself and say, you've asked us to pay this. We may pay it, but what do you have to show us that you've made reasonable efforts in order to have the individual pay the bill? We then get into an exchange of letters. And I would just describe the system that we have now as very inefficient. It wastes a lot of people in a lot of ways, a lot of people's times. And I think that this bill is a good bill because what it does is it clarifies and it makes clear that certain expenses that are related to law enforcement will be paid for through the law enforcement medical liability account. I think it's a good idea that it's funded through the assessments. I know that won't have an impact on your budget. It'll be funded outside of the normal sources. And I would trust that with the language in the bill that says that if there are funds available, the bill will be paid, but if there is a lack of funds, the bill may just sit there for a while until the funds come available. You shouldn't have the budgetary impacts that I can see would concern you. I would just like to say that the Oregon District Attorneys Association, or the Oregon City Attorneys Association, is in favor of the bill and hope that you would support it also. Do you have any questions?
Bill, I don't. I appreciate your testimony.
I had one, Mr. Chairman.
Shipwreck.
Must be a legal person. Page 4, line 8. An individual who receives medical services, this is my question, while in the custody of a law enforcement officer is liable. What does that mean, in custody of a law enforcement?
What page are you just
Page 4, on? Line 8 and 9.
First of all, the final interpretation would be left to a court. But some of the observations I would have, when you look at the criminal law in general, custody is oftentimes a term that's used to define situations relative to Miranda rights. And there's a lot of case law that involves what is a person who's in custody. So I suspect what a court would do, faced with having to interpret that, would be to look at some of those cases and say that the principles that are embodied there would apply to defining what custody is. I have a background as a district attorney and also as a prosecutor for the city. What I instruct our police officers, Mr. Chairman and Representative Shipwreck, is that if the handcuffs are on, you know that they're in custody, but actually the line you know is somewhere before that. I'm sure that if you only had one of the handcuffs on and were about ready to put the second one on, a court would say, well, that's custody. Obviously, when you just stop the vehicle, you walk up and you say, may I see your driver's license, please? That's not custody.
Would this be Well, this is my question. Would this include a person that's simply incarcerated? Aren't they in custody?
I think that you're right, that they would be in custody. I don't know if that's the intent of the bill, to include those people as people that would be having medical expenses paid, maybe one of the other sponsors.
That's my point, Mr. Chairman. I understand what the proponents are trying to do, but I want to make real sure that this is narrow, as Senator Faubusch mentioned, instead of opening this up. I could see counties just saying, we're not in the business of medical treatment anymore, and hit the fund. Maybe that's good, I don't know, but it says this person, while in custody, can access the fund.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, that's why I believe the county should be responsible for half of it. Then they can control the medical costs, too.
Yeah, that's a whole other issue there. Then you just stepped into the court cases, and that creates a whole other set of interesting opportunities.
They're not stepping into the court.